today is the first day of Advent. We're excited about the Advent season. In your bulletin, it has some information about Advent and what it is. But as we think of Thanksgiving, we pray this morning as a group, as we started off our worship group practice this morning. And we prayed that Thanksgiving would be not just that time, but for the rest of the year. And just a place that we stay and we just live in a constant state of thanksgiving. And my prayer for the church is that we do that, that we live in a constant state of thanksgiving for who's in our lives, for those that have been in our lives, for those that are no longer with us, and for what we have. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people for being God's people. We're a blessed people for being in this nation and having the freedoms that we have. And I want us to focus on being thankful for what we have and who's in our lives. We can be sad for those that are no longer with us, but let's be thankful for the time we had with those people. Amen? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Amen. Well, we're going to start our Advent season, and with the start of Advent, I'm going to get out of the way and let those processes take place right now. So if you would participate, and then I'll dismiss the children when it's time for them to go, okay?
For 2,000 years, Abraham and his descendants were looking, hoping for their deliverer, one who God had told Adam and Eve would crush the serpent's head. Each generation hoped and prayed that they would be the generation who would put everything in order and give them a ruler, a king. Hope beyond hope, a feeling what they wanted, and this would happen. The object of the hope was their Savior. Today, what is our hope? Maybe a house, a car, win the lottery, or have all our family together in peace and harmony. We have to have hope, to have the desire even though it seems baseless, for without hope we have nothing, and nothing is zero. As a child of God, we have to have the hope that Abraham and his descendants were looking for, God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the everlasting hope.
At the first communion, Jesus said to his disciples that he had fervently desired to be with them. This means that he earnestly longed to have communion with them. He also told his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it, saying to them, "This is my body, my whole physical substance, which is given, bestowed to you." In Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says that he, Christ, was wounded, cut, torn for our transgressions, and that he was bruised for our iniquities, our wickedness, and our sins. The chastisement, beating of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, 39 marks, we are healed, cured, and restored. He also took the cup, a portion of his blood, the essence of life and our heritage. He gave it to them to drink and absorb the forgiveness of all our sins. This means that any sins, any disease, and any addiction is gone. Today we take the bread and the cup in remembrance of him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have open communion, so if you are a visitor, you are welcome to take communion with us. Let us take a moment and prepare our hearts for this. Amen. Would the brethren please come forward and prepare the Lord's Supper? After you have received your communion and returned to your seats, please be reverent of others. Let us stand and take communion.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. No, though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated at this time. At this time, our children are dismissed for children's church. All age groups are leaving today. Just in case you're confused by the communion, all age groups of our children. And if you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. And what a wonderful way to kick off Advent. The first week of Advent is talking about hope. And we're going to talk about hope today. And I was like looking at things a little differently and saying, where can I find it other than maybe something that says, I am hope. I am peace. I am joy. I am love. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And he starts out his greeting that way. And as you look at the different letters that Paul writes, he writes a lot of times and says, I, Paul, am an apostle. I, Paul, am a bondservant. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy as he writes these letters. And he writes down this letter and says that I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. But he clarifies who Jesus Christ is in his life and to him. And that is his hope. But not only that, when he's writing the letter to the church, he says he is our hope. And we have to understand and know and believe that he's not just my hope. He's not just your hope. He is our hope, universal. Amen? He is our hope. And our job is to make sure that people understand that. And I have it written at the very end of my message on my notes, and I have it written at the end. But in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always, not some of the time, but always be ready to give a defense to everyone. Not those you feel like it, but to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And I want us to think about that today. But on our spiritual journey, as we go forward and we go through time and we go through our weekly routine, I want us to think about that. Always, that means always, be ready. And in case you're not, you may need to do some practice. And I know Pastor Eric has talked about this with the young people. Man, be prepared to give your testimony. And even with the adults, he's told you guys that. Be prepared to give your testimony and be ready. It says, be ready always to give the reason. But it's to give it to everybody. And it says everybody who asks. But I'm going to go a step further. I wander a lot, so I need a little wandering room. I'm sorry. Like a caged animal up here. But I want us to think, not just those that ask, but some that may be looking, but they may not have said anything or asked any questions yet. And I think our job, I told you last week that I've been on this journey asking God, what do you want me to do in this church? And what do you want this church to look like? And I want us to be ready. I want us to be ready when we talk to other people. And they say, hey, what's the reason for the hope that is in you? And I want us to be ready. I was reading a book by Robert Schuller, pastor of the Crystal Cathedral out in California. They've since gone through a lot of changes. But he wrote a book many, many years ago. And he was talking to, Art Linkletter. And one of his children committed suicide when they were 17. And another one was killed instantly in a car accident. And Robert Schuller said, every time I see you and talk to you, you are always smiling. And you are always full of joy. And why is that? And he said, you know, when other people tell me about their troubles and the things that they're going through and they've been through, and I can tell them what I've been through, and I can show them hope inside of me, that fills me with joy. I was telling Pastor Eric this morning, I was reading old letters from my walk to Emmaus. Bring some tissues when you read those letters from family and friends and church members. And one said, you've been through a lot this last year. And this was the year that I happened to be going to the walk to Emmaus. But when I see you, you are smiling and you are always full of joy. And I thought, my God has been good to me. No matter what he puts me through, he's still been good to me. And really, when I get down to it and I reflect and I think about it, I'm the one that's let him down. Oh, Lord, I'm in this situation. Could it be from my own doing? And the answer is yes, most of the time. Once in a while, somebody else is doing, but mine most of the time. And so Paul's writing the letter and he says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ and he is our hope. And I know I haven't got past verse 1, but we're getting there. And he's writing the letter to Timothy. And he says, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And wouldn't that be great if when people met us, they met us with that same thing? How great it is to see you, grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than, where have you been? We haven't seen you for months. Hey, what were you thinking the other day when you did this? But no, grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes that may be because it's not coming from me, because I'm having trouble bringing that to you, but from our Lord Jesus Christ, man, grace, mercy, and peace. So when we struggle to take that to people, we can always take it from Jesus Christ, amen? Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you in verse 3, when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies. I'll get through the list here before I stop. Which causes disputes. Are you listening, church? Which causes disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love. From what, though? Love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Now he says, I want you to stay here. And some are teaching other things. I want to be very clear. We want to teach the Bible here at Prayer of Faith. Not any extras, not our own thoughts, but we want to line it up with the Bible. And I think when we line it up with the Bible, we'll be in good shape. And I want you guys, I told you last week, our desire is to have these Sunday school classes so that we can teach our young people, our not as young people, our older folks, from our youngest to our oldest, that they have an opportunity to learn the Scripture and the true Scripture. One of the largest churches here in town talks about this. They say, we don't get into all these things because they cause a lot of differences. But where the Bible is very clear, we line up with those things. Where it leads to interpretation, we don't get as hung up on those things. Because it leads to problems. It leads to arguments. And we don't need that. We need to know Jesus Christ and what His desire for us is, because He is our hope. It says in verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and if there are any, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Sounds like he's pretty clear on there on what we should be learning and focusing on. And we can get a lot of different interpretations, and I think it's good to study other people and what they're teaching. But where the Bible does not clearly point it out, we have to be very careful of those interpretations or those thoughts. You know, for someone that says there's scientific proof that a day back when God made the world was 24 hours. Are you kidding me? They didn't even have a clock back then. And there's scientific proof? I mean, as though someone was back then and could state that as a fact? My response was, I don't know and I don't care. I mean, who cares? It was a day. A day is if what? 1,000 years. So those things, and people having proof, and some people want their soapbox to stand on and say there's scientific proof that it was or wasn't 24 hours, and it really just doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with godly edification of anything or anyone. I mean, what if it was 24 and a half hours? Ooh, you know, are we going to lose sleep over that? We don't care. It was way back then, so it doesn't matter. Now, some things matter that were back then, but that doesn't matter. In verse 12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man." Well, where's the hope in that? It's right behind that line. "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant." Has anyone experienced that? I know I have. "With faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," he says. "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Wow. That sounds like a lot of hope for a man that was going around killing Christians, dragging them off, taking them to prison, binding them up. But Saul experienced that grace and that mercy and love on that path. He had no hope. And sometimes other people bring that hope into our life. And sometimes Jesus Christ Himself reveals that to us, as happened to Saul. As he was on his journey on the road to Damascus, and he had an encounter with the living God. Now, he knew who he was encountering, because if you remember, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Well, he already knew who he was dealing with. And he reminds the people and says, "I was the chief. I was the chief sinner against them. He counted me faithful to do this. I obtained mercy. He came to save sinners, of whom I was chief." Now that is the hope that we have to show and express to other people. Is there hope in this person or this situation or that person? We may be the only one that tells them there is hope for you. And we may be that hope by Jesus Christ using us as an instrument to show them. The Old Testament talked about the coming Savior. We talk about the second coming of the Savior. Well, when's it going to be? Is it going to be in my lifetime? We talked a couple years back about some people had predicted it. As many as seven times they've predicted that the end of the world was coming or the second coming of Christ. And I'm thinking after the second or third, I would think maybe they just don't know when He's coming. But as many as seven times His followers followed this guy that said, "This is a date and time it will happen." I guess we're still here. But in the Old Testament, they prophesied and they told about the coming of Christ. They said He will be coming. In Isaiah, when he was called to be a prophet, and King Ahaz was talking to him. And he was talking to King Ahaz, and God told King Ahaz, ask God what He's going to do. And he said, no, I will not do that, and I'm not going to test him. And Isaiah got onto him and says, you refuse God. But Isaiah said in 7:14, the coming of Christ was coming. And then again in Isaiah 9:6-7. We'll be reading that in a couple weeks. So for a long time, they've been talking about the coming of Christ. And those people sat and they waited patiently and patiently. And they served. And as we go through the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, you just see patterns. Service, lack of service. Service, lack of service. Obedience, disobedience. Obedience, disobedience. Just like waves. Maybe in your own life you've seen those same waves coming and going. Well, I was in church, then I was out. Then I was in, then I was out. And the same thing happened, but the same message is there. He's coming. And back then it was, he's coming. For us, he's coming again. And we have to be ready. And while we're doing that, we have to be the hope for other people. I don't think we need to tell someone that's down on their luck, hey, you're at the bottom of the barrel. Did you know that? I think when they look at the clothes they may be wearing on the streets, and the fact that they're in the streets and don't have a roof over their head, I think they know that. But someone has to show them hope and be the hope for them. Jesus Christ is coming. And people have to know in this day and age, he came. And he paid the price for you and me. And that is our hope. Greetings. I bring you grace, mercy, and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, maybe for you, hope is alive and well. Fantastic. I'm excited to hear that. Stand close to someone and rub up against them carefully. Rub up against them and let some of that hope rub off on them. Just like Paul, sometimes it may just be that God himself speaks to somebody. May not be an encounter with you or me, but when that encounter happened, God put him in place with other people. And if you remember what happened afterwards, he had that transformation in his life. And some of you have had amazing transformations. And I'm sure when it first happened in your life, people that knew you very well and that were very close to you said, I don't think so. I don't know if that took. I was reading a story about a guy that had killed some people and went to prison. And in prison, he became born again. That may be an easy place for us to become very judgmental and say, well, yeah, he became born again because he wants that easy out or early out or whatever, if it's possible. And you never know if it's real or not. And just like baptism, it's not for me to know in your heart. It's for me to believe what you tell me in faith while being discerning. But God knows what's in their heart. But we're the first ones to go, I don't know if that's for real. And that's what people did when Paul wanted to come speak to them. Wait a minute. I mean, could you imagine? It's like calling a conference, getting everybody in here for the guy that's killing people that are in here normally. And saying, hey, by the way, Saul's coming to preach to you. And you're thinking, well, that's a setup. And they didn't believe him. And it took a while for people to believe this is a true change. And for some of us, again, as we go through the next couple seasons of Advent, we have to show people that that change is for real in me. And by the way, ask me. Ask me what my hope is. Ask me for the reason of hope that is in me. And when people ask you, be ready to give them an answer. Be ready to answer whatever that is. as we close today, I want us to think about this Advent season. We'll be going through the next couple weeks. We're talking about hope and peace and joy and love, and then we'll celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And that "Go Tell It on the Mountain" we sang today, man, that's about getting out there and letting people know. And the song's like, "Mary, did you know? Mary, did you fully understand this baby boy? Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King." And we get excited about those things. And I want us to think about the Advent season, looking for opportunities to give and demonstrate those things that we talk about. The joy, the peace, the love, the hope. Look for opportunities. And remember several weeks ago, a couple months ago now, when we talked about the difference between opportunities and those things we had to do. Opportunities are life-changing for us. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Are you ready to give that defense? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're filled with excitement during this Advent season, talking about the upcoming arrival of your Son and what that means in the lives of believers. But more importantly, God, what that means in the lives of those that are lost, that they too can be found. Maybe today you're lost and you need to be found. And you say, "I want that peace and that joy and that hope that the Bible talks about and that I hear others talking about." I encourage you to speak to Pastor Eric or myself about that. Be it questions or a decision that you want to make, to ask Jesus into your heart today. But God, really your word is talking to us about challenges in our lives. And the challenge that Jesus Christ gave those that came to him. And those challenges were simply, go and sin no more. So God, today as we celebrate the beginning of Advent, would you reveal to us areas that we need to clean up, give up, change up, step up, things we need to step out of, things we need to step up to, and help draw us near to you through the study of your word. Now God, as we go out in this holiday season, help us to be mindful of those that are less fortunate. Help us to be mindful of those that need our assistance. Help guide our actions towards those we know and don't know. Guide our lips and our words towards those we know and don't know. Sometimes in the comfort of knowing, we say things we shouldn't. We behave in ways we shouldn't. But help curb us from those activities. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.